Jesus was visiting the town of Jericho just before his final visit to Jerusalem. Before the waving of leafy palms and the spreading of cloaks that we associate with Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus was approximately 20 miles northeast of that holy city, this place called Jericho. One of the oldest cities in the world. You may remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. That takes place on the road between Jericho and Jerusalem. And it was in Jericho, according to Mark, where Jesus performed a final miracle before his death. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside, and a large crowd had assembled. The scene was noisy, congested, the crowd pushing and shoving in order that folks might get just a little closer to Jesus. And then all of a sudden, Bartimaeus, who's on the sidelines and cannot see, starts shouting to get Jesus' attention. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I'm reminded of the time that I took my son Cameron to a Phillies baseball game, and this obnoxious, did I say obnoxious, loudmouth guy spent most of the game yelling at the right fielder. We were in the right field stands, and I think that right fielder was Bobby Abreu, for you Phillies fans. Oh, yeah. And on that night, he was a former Philly, because Bobby Abreu ended up playing for the New York Mets. So you can understand where this is going. Oh, wait a minute. My son loved Bobby Abreu. And this guy is just tormenting Abreu. He's just hurling insult after insult. And I wanted this guy to shut up. Just shut up. The haranguing was loud, it was constant. And that's the image I have of this crowd, how they were feeling when Bartimaeus starts yelling. And Bartimaeus wouldn't let up. And the people around Bartimaeus are like, "Bartimaeus, shut up." But Bartimaeus kept yelling. Even Jesus heard Bartimaeus above the crowd. "And And when Jesus asked the crowd to call Bartimaeus over, the crowd suddenly changed its tune. Hey, Bartimaeus, hey! Jesus is calling you. And suddenly, this blind man, unable to see, doesn't exactly know where he is. He springs to his feet and he throws off his most valuable possession, his cloak. And he makes his way to Jesus. Now think of the courage it took for a blind beggar, an outcast, a nobody, a person who had been completely pushed to the side of society, to the side of the road, literally, to get up in front of a crowd, a throng, and slowly make steps towards Jesus. And when Bartimaeus finally got to Jesus, Jesus asked him, "Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you?" And in a very humble voice, Bartimaeus said, "My teacher, let me see again. Let me see again." Those four words, so much power and resonance. Let me see again. These are words for you and for me. They are words that I suspect have profound meaning for a professor that I follow. His name is James K.A. Smith. He's a professor of religion and philosophy at Calvin University in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And James Smith is an incredibly thoughtful author, thoughtful, incisive Christian, and he published a book in 2019 on Saint Augustine. He's a really, really smart guy. And as a philosopher, as a theologian, you know, it's natural for a guy like James Smith to believe that if he simply makes the right argument, you know, gets the right facts, interprets it the right way, you know, he can determine the solution to any problem. But James Smith experienced something he could not think himself out of. He experienced a dark, dark season of depression. Depression is something that is very, very close to all of us. If we haven't experienced it ourselves, we know someone who has experienced deep depression. Certainly I have in my extended family. One of my relatives was essentially vacant for a year. And it's so hard to experience that. James Smith writes, "None of my analytical skills could help me claw my way out of this lonely trench in which I found myself. And I was alienated from those right next to me." He continues, "I won't adequately capture the despair of realizing that my intellectual strengths were powerless to dispel the black sun that oppressed me. You see, depression can sound like a paralyzing form of blindness, a disability, a different kind from what Bartimaeus experienced, but debilitating, hopeless nonetheless. And both of these individuals, Bartimaeus and James Smith, were not born with these respective conditions. But both experienced this enormous loss. Writing about this depression, James Smith said, "This experience was humbling on a number of registers, including intellectually, because I confronted a challenge that refused to be solved by analysis. All of my vocational confidence in the power of reason was quite literally humiliated in the face of depression. I couldn't think my way out of this." And likewise, Bartimaeus couldn't simply will himself to see again. Something more was needed. For James Smith, it happened to be a Christian counselor who, instead of trying to tell Smith what to do, you see, that's what most of us, you know, just snap out of it, just get out of it. You can do it. You know, this coaching that we're bent on trying. This counselor, instead of telling Smith what to do, he simply spent time with him, created space, became a friend. James Smith writes, "I didn't need to refine my knowledge. I needed to carry a different story in my bones." As Smith recalls, it was as if this counselor had climbed down into the pit with him. And for Bartimaeus, it was Jesus simply asking what he could do for him. And in both cases, each person, James Smith and Bartimaeus, had to throw their respective cloaks to the sideline. You know, that form of security that we wrap ourselves with. And then they both had to move in faith. You know, so many of us carry burdens. We carry heavy weights. We carry fears. Sometimes we don't even know we're fearful, but we're carrying it. Sometimes we carry the pain of a strained relationship or a broken relationship. We carry disappointments. We carry insecurities. We carry so many things. And sometimes you and I don't even know the weight. We're not even aware of the weight that we're carrying. Until somehow it makes a surface, it surfaces. Now, there are a number of reasons to keep the weight, to keep those burdens tucked inside where no one else can see them or know them. For many of us, we feel we can figure it out on our own. Or for others of us, it feels like shame to think that others will see us as weak if we dare to bear our souls. And what we learn from Bartimaeus is that, help me, help me, help me, is one of the most profound prayers of faith. When Bartimaeus shouted out to Jesus, he was shouting with a determination that regardless of what the crowd thought of him, despite the fact that they were trying to shut him down, this yelling, this pleading radiated as a public witness to the power of faith. To throw one's cloak aside, one's self-protection, one's outer covering, to let go of that in favor of the promise of God. That's what faith is all about. It's often been noted that in the same chapter in Mark's gospel that we find the story of Bartimaeus, we also find the story of a rich man, a very rich man. And he asked Jesus what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. This is a man who followed all the commandments, followed all the rules, did everything he was supposed to do. And Jesus suggested to him that he was lacking one thing. And he told the man, sell your possessions. Give the money to the poor. You see, that amount of money, that was a cloak. A form of security. And the man just couldn't give it up. At the end of the story, we learn that this man was shocked, appalled, and then he left Jesus full of grief and sadness. I would say that you and I, we all have things that keep us from being complete, from being whole, things that keep us from being healed. And we can hold on to them. We can nurse them. We can feed them. Or we can muster the faith to call upon God to throw off our cloaks and to trust that God will be there. You see, faith is a kind of seeing. It's a kind of vision. It's hard to explain. Which is why Jesus said to Bartimaeus, you know, Bartimaeus, your faith, your vision, has already made you well. And that's good news. Amen.